My name is Thanos Karatsias. I'm a clinical psychologist and a professor of mental health, currently based in Edinburgh Napier University and the NHS Lothian River Centre for Traumatic Stress.
Thank you very much for joining us. I'm really interested in your work and your kind of dedication to psychological trauma. It seems like your career has really focused on this topic in a variety of different populations, prison population, people with learning disabilities, a challenging kind of field to work in, but a field that has in recent years become much more to the forefront of people's minds in mental health. Do you want to tell us kind of how you got into that in the first place and a bit about that journey?
Okay. Absolutely. As you said, I've been working in the field of trauma all my professional career. That is now well over 20 years. I guess I'm quite a pragmatic person in nature. And psychological trauma is the only mental health condition that has a known cause at a traumatic life event. There is no other condition like that. And I guess when I came across through my postgraduate studies with the field, that made sense to me, and I thought, okay, clearly this is a very interesting area to work on. I was fascinated ever since. But the other thing that caught my attention as a psychologist and later as a clinical psychologist was that the vast majority of any population, whether it's a general population or clinical populations, they have experienced traumatic life events, and people think that, and rightly so to some extent, that a traumatic life event equates to PTSD. But the reality is that traumatic life events predispose people to a number of different conditions. PTSD is one of them. Complex PTSD is the newer condition, but there is no known mental health condition that is not associated to traumatic life events, including personality disorders of different kinds. So I thought quite early for ecological validity, if I work on that field, I would be able to have a greater impact in the field of mental health. But working on PTSD and now on complex PTSD is quite useful from a clinical perspective and the research perspective, because it provides us with a framework to address traumatic stress. And although people who have experienced traumatic life events, they might present with all sorts of different mental health problems, if you identify that this is a result of a traumatic life event quite early, and you do something about that, you address this in some sort of way, then that means that you would expect this would have a positive impact on their mental health problems, whatever that is, depression, anxiety, PTSD, complex PTSD. So that's how I found myself in the field. I still find it very fascinating, and new things to unravel and understand all the time.
I'm really interested in the fact that you're talking about complex PTSD and borderline personality disorder at the conference. And I suppose one of the things I've reflected on in recent years when I've been talking to experts at mental health conferences around the world is that personality disorder, and I'm generalizing here, personality disorder is often seen as a kind of diagnosis of exclusion, where we have very few effective ways of helping people. Whereas PTSD and complex PTSD seems to contrast a lot with that. We seem to have lots of ways that we can help people, lots of effective treatments, you know, lots of evidence-based research. And yet we have this kind of overlap between these two conditions where we say, actually, people that are diagnosed with personality disorder, perhaps they're misdiagnosed and they should actually be diagnosed with complex PTSD. So it feels like an area where there's a lot of, obviously, stigma and confusion. Yeah, I want you to kind of reflect on that. What's the relationship between these two conditions?
First of all, you know, you're absolutely right there that for many people, it has been a diagnosis of exclusion personality disorders, or people who they present with those difficulties, it takes quite a bit of time, you know, to get the proper diagnosis. And unfortunately, I don't think that, you know, we are, in many cases, or it used to be a historic thing, I think that now are getting better with assessment. We are not necessarily assess people properly, and many people have been misdiagnosed. And that happens not only within the area of personality disorders, but many people, for example, have been misdiagnosed with depression or anxiety disorders, whereas the true nature of their problems is traumatic stress. But at the same time, we should necessarily assume that everybody has traumatic stress, because if you look at different studies, which I'm going to talk about as part of my keynote for the event, you could see a clear distinction between complex PTSD symptoms and borderline personality disorder, and the same would be with psychosis, anxiety, and depression. But the reality is that, you know, conditions do overlap, and in the case of complex PTSD, there are three clusters of factors called disturbances of self-organization. And these are emotional dysregulation, negative self-concept, and difficulties with relationships. These DSO factors can be found in almost every other condition, including a borderline personality disorder. But it's perhaps how the symptoms manifest that makes a huge difference, the phenomenology of how they do manifest. So, for example, I'm only going to give an example in the interest of time there. Self-concept, okay? Difficulties with self-concept is a problem for both people with borderline personality disorder and people with complex PTSD. But in complex PTSD, we see this negative self-concept as permanently low and very hard to shift into a more positive kind of state. Whereas in borderline personality disorder, we see that, you know, this is going up and down from positive to negative. Is the sense of self is very unstable, as it has been described. So the problem is the same, but it manifests quite different. The other thing that creates, you know, a bit of confusion and overlap there is that to be diagnosed with complex PTSD, you would need to have a traumatic stressor is a prerequisite for the diagnosis. But not everybody with a borderline personality disorder or other personality disorders would have a traumatic stressor in their history. So there are many people there who present with those symptoms, but not necessarily with a traumatic stressor. But it is quite positive, I think, to know, as we said earlier on, when traumatic stress is present, when there is a history of traumatic stressor, because the interest now is in the overlap, because we know that the two conditions overlap, and there are many people who there is a proportion of people who can be diagnosed with both conditions. What would happen if we address this from a trauma perspective? as opposed to a personality disorder perspective. And there are new ways we're thinking, again, of new models of treatment. I've made some recommendations to the literature, and we're in a good position. We're doing the trials to find what is the best way to help people with complex PTSD. So if we know that people with personality disorders, they have symptoms of complex PTSD, then a big question is what would happen to their personality disorder symptoms if we address their complex PTSD symptoms. And I think that would be a major area of inquiry over the next few years.
And I guess in the UK, we've had this drive over recent years towards trauma-informed care and trauma-informed services. And, you know, the kind of buzzword has been, or the phrase has been, you know, focus on what's happened to people rather than what's wrong with people. And that very much kind of, you know, plays into what you're saying here. But what needs to change in services? What needs to change with clinicians and practitioners in order for that to really happen? Because you're talking about a new diagnosis here, complex PTSD. You're talking about a diagnosis with personality disorders that's been around for many years and that's been, you know, misused in many cases. And you're talking about a group of people who have potentially been traumatized, but also been discriminated against. You know, I'm thinking about Black men who very rarely get diagnosed with personality disorders, tend to be much more likely to be diagnosed as psychotic or schizophrenic. There's lots of cultural as well as clinical issues to think about. How would you say services need to change and practitioners and clinicians' experience needs to change for this to be done more accurately?
That is an excellent question. I think up to now, the focus of our work is to find effective treatments for all these different conditions. And I think that, you know, what happens in clinical services quite a lot is a very rapid kind of assessment, and then, you know, assign a diagnosis and then a path for treatment. And that has been the dominant model for the last decades in the UK and beyond. And I'm pretty sure that has been quite successful for many. But for many people who clearly, you know, they saw the benefits of that, and there are many, many success stories out there. But I think this is a system that failed quite a few. And as you said, many people, you know, felt let down, they didn't get the proper treatment. I think that my suggestion for services is for those to be front loaded. So instead of rushing people through assessment, just spend a little bit more time at the beginning when someone is being referred to a service with a problem, just to spend some time with them to figure out exactly what the problem is, just to do a very thorough assessment, to identify all their problems and all their needs. And sometimes, for example, there are a number of people who cannot be fitted within a specific category. They're subsyndromal, but their symptoms are very, very debilitating. And because they're unable to fit in within a specific category, they cannot access proper treatment and support. So I would say, front-load services to understand what the problems are, what the difficulties are, and then bring together a package of care that suits the needs of that particular individual. So become a more person-centered, provide more person-centered and personalized care. That doesn't mean that you have to make major changes and adjustments into the system. All clinicians are incredibly well trained and very skillful to provide you know, all sorts of different therapies with minor adjustments and focus on the needs of a particular individual, I think we can help far more people compared to what we do now.
I want to ask you specifically about people with learning disabilities as well, because I think that's a really interesting area that isn't so much in people's minds in relation to personality disorders. We know that people with learning disabilities often experience diagnostic overshadowing, where the actual health issue that they have is overshadowed by their learning disabilities. And it might be that a physical health problem is missed, or it might be that a mental health issue is missed. What are the specific issues that clinicians and practitioners need to think about if they're being presented with a person with learning disabilities who potentially has this history of trauma?
I think the most important issue for me that we have not figured it out yet is the phenomenology of trauma in these neurodiverse populations. Most of the research that we are doing at the moment, we assume that this is how a condition or a problem presents in people who, without learning disabilities or neurodiverse issues. And we think that the problems manifest in the same kind of way in this population group. So we expect, as a clinician, okay, think about PTSD or complex PTSD, you expect to see something similar in this population. You don't see what you expect to see, then is not there. But maybe we need to see all these problems from the perspective of people with learning disabilities, and maybe all these problems manifest differently. For example, a very interesting idea that has been in the literature the last few years, and I have personally talked about it, is the issue of challenging behavior. And I'm wondering, and there is some evidence to that effect, whether challenging behavior is a trauma, can be a symptom of traumatic stress in this population group. So you don't see the re-experience, avoidance, hyperarousal, the typical PTSD symptoms, but maybe you see, you know, something like that. And we know that the population are far more likely to have experienced traumatic life events throughout their lives in their childhood and later on, and adversity more widely. So I would like personally to see more research on with that kind of perspective in mind, how these conditions, PTSD and complex PTSD, do come across, manifest in these different populations. And I think once we know that, then we can develop the appropriate assessment tools, and that will inform clinical practice in a completely different way. I think, maybe I'm wrong there, there might be quite a lot of misdiagnosis there happening in people with IDs because of the diagnostic overshadowing, or perhaps because we do not necessarily understand fully people's problems and difficulties.
If you were given the opportunity to sort of say, let's focus on one thing that's really going to improve the lives of people with a diagnosis of personality disorders, what would that be?
I think that question would be best answered by people who are experts in the field of personality disorders. I'm coming into that from a trauma perspective. And what we know is that many people with personality disorders, they do suffer from complex traumatic stress. So a big question and a big priority in the future for me would be, what would happen, how people would respond, what would be the impact on their mental health if we targeted complex traumatic stress? would that have an impact on the personality disorder difficulties? What would be the impact on their general health and well-being, you know, more widely?
And what's your hunch? What proportion of people do you think have been diagnosed with a personality disorder who would actually be better diagnosed with complex PTSD? And what's your hunch about how easy it would be to actually help these people if we push them down a complex PTSD pathway? Because we do have effective treatments there, don't we?
We do and we don't. You've mentioned this effectiveness of treatments earlier on, and it was in my mind to respond to that. But, you know, then we went into a different direction. First of all, you know, the actual percentages, we don't know. Complex PTSD is a new diagnosis. Since 2018 was introduced in ICD-11. And as from this year, can be officially diagnosed because the ICD-11 has now been adopted by all the WHO countries, and UK is one of them. So we don't necessarily know, but I would say there are people who possibly must have been misdiagnosed, but we don't know what is the exact number of that. But when it comes to actual treatments, there is an assumption that existing treatments are quite helpful. But if you look at the evidence more closely, you would see that there is a very large percentage of people, sometimes over 50%, that they do not respond to existing treatments. And their symptoms are very, very chronic. In the case of complex PTSD, because we did some meta-analysis on this area, what we found was that there are existing therapies can be helpful for some, but less so if the source of traumatic stress is in childhood. These treatments tend to be less effective. And we know that many people with personality disorders have a history of stressors in childhood. But because everything is so new, we don't I don't have a concrete answer to give you at the moment. But I think we are the field is quite fertile at the moment, and it provides an opportunity for all of us to look into that with fresh eyes. So we know, for example, that there is a population with complex traumatic stress and personality disorders. It would be quite useful to explore how people would respond if we address this from a trauma perspective. And I would be personally very, very keen to look into that in the future. And we are looking similar work, you might be pleased to hear, with people with psychosis. So we know, for example, that the two conditions again overlap through the DSO symptoms. So I'm doing one of the trials that I'm doing at the moment, the Picasso trial, as it is called, is aiming to address we are addressing complex PTSD symptoms in people with psychosis. And we want to explore what would happen to the symptoms of psychosis if we address this from a CPTSD perspective. So there is quite a lot of work to be done in the field.
What would you say is the best, most up-to-date summary of treatment for complex PTSD that we could summarize?
We've done three meta-analyses so far. Because complex PTSD is a new condition, there are no any trials targeting the symptoms of complex PTSD. But what we did is we looked into existing PTSD trials that they have assessed the complex PTSD symptoms using proxy measures. And what we found is that existing therapies can be useful for many, but as I said, the impact is moderated when the source of trauma is in childhood, which calls for new evidence and new treatment approaches. I won't bore you with the details as part of this, and I'm going to save some of that for the conference presentation. But we looked into possible therapeutic avenues from a theoretical perspective. And we, bringing all that together, we have proposed a modular therapy as a way of addressing the symptoms of complex PTSD. So what modular therapy does is we are addressing each of the symptom clusters separately, starting with the DSO symptoms. So we have an intervention for affect dysregulation. We start with that, we address that, we see what the impact is on the other clusters, and then we decide on the next therapeutic target, and so on and so forth. And we developed a protocol for that, which we are now testing in Picasso. There is the RECOVER trial, another trial we are doing for that is complex PTSD in veterans. And we are planning other studies in the field. But there are already, I should add, a number of interventions that are addressing these problems quite successfully. But we're using modular therapy as a framework to guide the clinical perspective. So that is where we are at the moment, and the evidence is ever evolving. But I would like to see more studies in the future, not just from our group, from other groups, testing new treatments and new models of care for those with complex PTSD. I think that's what many teams at the moment are doing, you know, just planning and testing existing and new therapies for complex PTSD. I'm quite lucky in what I'm doing. I'm part of an international group, and we work with people all over the world on those issues, and we are planning work on trials exploring the effectiveness of different interventions, not only in the UK, but in the US, Switzerland, Australia, all over the world. Is an international effort, I think, trying to address those issues. But I think that complex PTSD is perhaps the most exciting development in the field of psychological trauma and psychotraumatology the last few decades. And we know that it has been an issue affecting large numbers of the population. In fact, now we know from studies we conducted, epidemiological studies all over the world, that is a far more common condition than simple PTSD, which is quite interesting because someone has to endorse six clusters of symptoms as opposed to three clusters of symptoms. You wouldn't expect to see, you know, higher rates of complex PTSD. But it confirms, I think, what we knew already, that complex PTSD is a very common condition, and many people are suffering from the effects. And I think it's quite positive that people now are joining forces, looking into that issue and finding new ways of helping people with complex PTSD all over the world, including the UK.